Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. If you're not already following Switch, Pivot, or Quit on Instagram, where we provide a regular dose of feel-good encouragement and inspiration, mainly on IG stories, so be sure to check that out. You might want to get down with us over at Switch, Pivot, or Quit on IG. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. So today we're going to be getting into our May book chat book of the month. The book is actually called The 4-Hour Workweek by Timothy Ferris. And the full title is The 4-Hour Workweek, Escape the 9-to-5, Live Anywhere, and Join the New Rich. So this book chat is going to be a little bit different today because we're going to break it down into two parts. This is a pretty thick book, so unfortunately, I didn't have the chance to finish reading it within the month of May. So we're going to roll over into June. So part one of this book chat is going to be the first half of the book, and part two will be the second half and my final thoughts and conclusions and ideas on the 4-Hour Workweek. So if you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out on Instagram so that you can keep up with any quotes or anything that I post from the book, and you can also potentially follow and read along as we go through this here book. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the book chats, they happen monthly, and the podcast episodes for them air the last Tuesday of every month. And as your chief encourager, I do the book chats because I want to invite you in to read along with the books that I'm reading. And there's a new book each month, and the upcoming books are always listed on the website. Give me a little leeway if the July book is not up there yet. I will get to it, but I know what it is. And actually, for July, we may have a little something different. We may mix in a little something special for July, so stay tuned for that. But ultimately, the goal is to offer you new information, ideas, and concepts. When you consume information, it just helps you to get your own wheels turning with the things that you may be battling with, deciding, trying to figure out in your own life. And that could be personal or professional. So like I said, our book this month is The 4-Hour Workweek by Timothy Ferris. Now, this book is not necessarily new, but it is a expanded and updated version that I'm reading from. The original book came out in April of 2007, actually. And if you want more information about the author, the book, all of that, you can go to 4hourblog.com and find out more information. Now, if you are unfamiliar with Timothy Ferris or Tim Ferris, he's the author of multiple New York Times best-selling books. He's been called the Superman of Silicon Valley by Wired Magazine. He's named one of Fast Company's most innovative business people. And he does a lot of trial and error, and he's lived this life that he's talking about. So that is why he presents his work and his findings in a way that is meant for other people to be able to consume and recreate. And to round that all off, Newsweek ranked him in its top 10 most powerful personalities on the 2012 Digital 100 Power Index list. So he's kind of like a big deal in the Silicon Valley business, entrepreneurial type of sector. Now, how did I come to read this book? I came to read this book because I'd heard about it casually mentioned quite a few times in different places by different people. And then when I started watching the YouTubers Mimi and Alex Icon, I would hear them mention the 4-Hour Workweek and Timothy Ferris frequently enough that finally I was like, okay, let me check out this book. I've heard about it in multiple places, and now they're talking about it, and they run a multiple successful businesses. So I was like, you know what, let me just see if this book has something that could be of value to me and the Life Accord and her audience. So that is how we came to have this book as our book chat book of the month. I'm going to go over my 5 faves as I always do, and I'll let you know what I liked about the book thus far and just sort of like what's in the book and what my thoughts are. So my first fave is that Timothy introduces rules that change the rules, and that's in chapter 2. He talks about how to pretty much learn the rules to make them then work in your favor so that you can not necessarily break the rules, but in some cases maybe manipulate the rules or be so well versed on the rules that you can use them to your advantage. Because, you know, a lot of times when people think of rules, we think of boundaries, we think of things we can't do, we think of limitations. But Tim just comes at it from a whole other perspective. He doesn't think of it as limitations and boundaries. He thinks of it as, how can I use this to my advantage? And I think that that's something very powerful to point out for us, because rules are everywhere. We encounter them every day, all the time, in all of our lives. So if we can figure out how to make these rules work for us and in our favor, that right there is clutch. So he talks about how he learn the rules of this, I think it was MMA fighting, so that he could then take this MMA fighting situation where he had little to no experience. He had a wrestling experience, but not MMA fighting experience. So he took the rules that he learned and studied and became an expert on, and he made them work in his favor. So he figured out what the rules were for weigh-ins, and he figured out under doctor's care how to basically get to the weigh-in, meet the weight, and then gain the weight back. So he dropped the weight for the weigh-in, gained the weight back in 24 hours so that he can fight as a heavier weight within the smaller weight class, which obviously gave him an advantage. So things like that, he pretty much used the rules to his advantage. So he wasn't breaking the rules. He was just making sure that he followed the rules so much to the letter that he could then do what he wanted to do, and it would still be within the parameters of the rules. And then he also goes through some kind of rules that he wants you to sort of be aware of and institute in your life, so that you can keep them, you can stay aware of them throughout the book. And it's sort of like eye openers for some of the areas that he touches on, because it's things to make you reevaluate pretty much how you currently like operate. And there's nothing wrong with challenging our thoughts and how we do things, because how we do things right now might not be the best way to do things. Look, he's telling you that he wants to get you down to a 4-hour work week. Well, right now, if you're working, you know, 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week, whatever, if you're just working yourself to death, then you might want to think of and consider some new rules for your life, or implementing some new ideas to make life a little bit simpler and easier. So the second fave that I had was that it was from this section or chapter in the book where he's talking about interrupting interruption and the art of refusal. So he points out how being difficult and assertive can work in your favor, because, and it's so funny, and I that caught my eye, because sometimes we think of people that are difficult as like bad people, people we don't want to be bothered with and things like that. But he's talking about making it a good thing, in the sense that if you're trying to get away from interruption and you want to lessen the amount of people that come to you and interrupt you in your time for things that may not necessarily require your attention, if you're known as being that difficult and assertive person, then you pretty much lessen the chances that someone's going to come to you to essentially bother you with things that they could probably figure out on their own. And it's so funny because he gave the example, and maybe this will give you an idea, because it doesn't mean that you have to be mean and negative and nasty. So he gave the idea of how the example of how he was in college, and if he got anything less than an A on a paper, he would go to the teacher's or the professor's office hours, and he would want to go through the whole exam, project, what test, whatever it is, with a fine-tooth comb and have them explain every single element of that exam and how he could have done better, what he could have done better, and how he could have answered differently to get a higher score, so that by the time they were done going through this test and exam, they were ready to basically tap out. It was like, okay, Tim, that's enough for today. So what that did in his mind, and I'm guessing that it worked, what that did was it ingrained in the professor or the teacher's aide mind that this guy, Tim Ferriss, would settle for nothing less than an A. So the next time I grade his work, I better make sure that I'm grading it fairly and that I'm giving him the best opportunity to get the best grade possible. Because what I don't want is Tim Ferriss back in my office for the entire three hours of office hours, bogging down my time with the details of his score and how he can make it better. So that's one way how that being difficult and assertive can work in your favor. I really liked that one. So a quote that I also liked that he included in the book was, outside of science and law, he says, all rules can be bent or broken. It does not require being unethical. So he's pretty much saying, learn, know, and understand the rules so that you can potentially break the rules in your own way. And it doesn't mean that it has to really be like you're breaking the law, breaking the rules, or you're being unethical. It just means that maybe you're manipulating things or making things work to your advantage more so. And he also uses that same quote that I've heard before about pretty much doing what you want and not asking for permission, but then asking for forgiveness later. So he mentions that as well. My third fave is that Tim suggests taking less information in, taking an information break, and letting things work themselves out. He says basically you take yourself out of the equation as an option, as a solution, to figure out the solution. He talks about real life situations in this book, and he gives like practical, sometimes completely different ways to handle these types of situations. So one of the things that he's talking about is starting off by limiting yourself to checking your email only twice a day, like at 11 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he said, by doing that, you basically give yourself, you're bunching your work together and you're bunching your attention for email together. So you give yourself more time to maximize your productivity outside of those hours where you're not checking email. Because sometimes we all know that email can take up so much of your day if you're constantly checking and responding to one-off email. So he's saying bunch things together so that you can maximize your time outside of checking the emails. And then he goes on to suggest that you get it down so good to where you only check your email once a day and then once a week. That might be a bit advanced, but what he does also offer is a template for what an auto response that you can include when you're only checking your email twice a day or once a day. You can pretty much put an autoresponder on that addresses some of the general and basic things that someone might be emailing you about in order to maybe lessen some of the confusion as to why you're not getting back to people in a really, you know, quick manner like some people tend to expect or like. This book is really, what I'm gathering so far, it's a lot about giving you tips and guides to help you streamline your life, to help you simplify things, and really pointing out to us that sometimes some of us take work so serious that we're almost overworking ourselves unnecessarily. He really points out how much time we waste not doing high priority tasks, how much time we waste doing things that pretty much don't move the needle. So that's just something to think about. Now, On to my fourth fave. I really like that he provides specific websites, services, and things like that for you to try and utilize in making changes to like a simpler lifestyle. He calls this lifestyle design. Basically, simplifying your life is like lifestyle design for him when he's talking about the new rich, the NR as he calls it. So he's giving you some of the websites that he uses, some of the apps that he uses, and some of the tips and tricks and tools that he uses to simplify things for himself. So I like that instead of just telling you do this, do that, but not really breaking it down for you how you do this or do that. I like that he gives you a specific guideline as to how he does what he does if you want to try and achieve the same results. Now, my fifth and final fave is that this book seems to be a guide to truly simplifying your lifestyle so that you can get to a 4-hour work week. But what I realize is that this might not be for everybody. And he says that early on in the book, that this lifestyle, this way, these things that he's telling you to do just might not be for everybody. He says, actually, I'm going to read it. He says, much of what I recommend will seem impossible and even offensive to basic common sense. I expect that. And he just says, resolve now to test the concepts as an exercise in lateral thinking. If you try it, you'll see just how deep the rabbit hole goes and you won't ever go back. So he's pretty much saying, if you try it, you'll see how much you can maximize your time and you'll see how much time you are wasting in this sort of like rabbit hole of thinking that we have to overwork ourselves and we always have to be busy, busy, busy. And you won't want to go back to this busy, busy, busy lifestyle once you find other ways. The other thing that I really liked about it is that the tips are not just for entrepreneurs. They're for entrepreneurs as well as those working in a 9-to-5 setting. He mentions, you know, doing things like asking your boss, maybe can I not go to XYZ meeting because I think I can maximize my time better if I skip that meeting and then checked in with so-and-so, maybe let's say another coworker after the meeting to get the highlights and the notes on that meeting. Now, the funny thing is, reading a lot of these tips as they relate to 9-to-5ers, I would say you have to use your best judgment on the type of company culture that is created where you work. Because I know for me, when I was working at the National Basketball Association, if we had Monday meetings, first they were Monday meetings, weekly meetings, and then they turned into Tuesday weekly meetings, department meetings, and they were mandatory. If you were in the office, you needed to be at that meeting. And a lot of times these meetings were not super productive. It was not for everybody. It was more like a catch up so that the entire group knew what was going on with the entire group. But half of us really didn't even need to be there. That information could have been funneled in a different way. But I know for a fact that if I had gone to my direct manager and asked to skip the meeting because I had more productive things to do, and if I could get the cliff notes basically from somebody else, that would not have been acceptable. It wouldn't have been acceptable for my direct manager, and my department head would have eventually said something as well. So that company culture and that department culture, let's say, did not allow for some of the things that Tim was suggesting to do in those types of instances. So I really think you need to judge it based off of what type of company you work at. And to me, even though I've never worked at a Silicon Valley like startup type of company, I think that some of these tips and tricks probably are better suited if you work in a startup type of environment. So that's just something to keep in mind. Hey, if you think you can try it or you just want to try some of these tips as you go along, in your, you know, respective workplaces, no matter what, you know, no matter what the company culture is, try it, do it. Let me know what happens, actually. DM me on Instagram and let me know what happens. But I just think that it's good to just pay attention to what kind of situation you're in, because you also don't want to get yourself in some kind of like unnecessary situation. Now, he also, the last thing I'm going to mention is that Tim introduces this DEAL acronym early on in the book, and it's basically, it's like the process for becoming a part of the new rich. And it's called the DEAL acronym because they, each letter has a different sort of like meaning and reason for it. So I'll go through them. So D stands for definition. It's rules and objectives for a new game. And that's where the rules that we were talking about earlier, breaking the rules and making them work in your favor, that's where that comes in. Then there's E for elimination. That's where it deals with maximizing your time versus managing it and ultimately ignoring what is unimportant to you. He even talks about going on like an information fast where for a week the only type of media that you consume is like music. You don't listen to the news, you don't surf the web, you don't do anything that you don't read any types of nonfiction books. You only read fiction books. Like, you don't do anything. You don't basically consume any type of information. Only information that's meant for leisure. So, like, music, fiction books, things like that. It's pretty much putting yourself on an information detox. And he suggests doing that to, like, refresh yourself and see how much of this stuff does not require your attention. So that's what he's talking about when he's mentioning elimination. Then the A is for automation, and that is the ins and outs of putting your cash flow on autopilot, making your money work for you, it seems to be, with little to no effort after you sort of set everything up. And then the L stands for liberation, and it's about forever breaking the binds that confine you to like a single location. It deals with the idea of mini retirements, and he talks about this early on in the book, creating a lifestyle where you have these spurts of work and you work really, really hard, and then you go on like these mini retirements. And that made a lot of sense to me because so many people work so hard and so long in their lives waiting for retirement, like waiting for this one glorious day of retirement. But the fact is that some people may not even make it to retirement age, A, and they've worked really, really hard all these years to get to this retirement where they could really enjoy their life and spend their money, and then they never actually make it to that day. Or by the time they make it to that day, their health is not the best, or their lifestyle hasn't been the best because they've overworked themselves. So they cannot fully enjoy the life that they now have, this free life that they now have ahead of them because of different issues, whether it be health issues, whether it be, just anything. It's just that you work so hard, but there's no guarantee that this retirement that everyone looks forward to then have all this free time and be able to live this life that they really want to live, there's no guarantee that that day is going to come. So it's more like he's encouraging you to work really hard and split your time up so that you don't have to work as hard all the time, so that you can have many retirements throughout your life, so that by the time you get to retirement age, you don't feel like you've missed out on a large portion of life by not really living it until you're like 70. So I really like that idea. I think that's something to think about and consider and try to work into your life and try to make some of the information that he's imparting on you, make it work for you so that you can do things like this. I really do like the idea of mini retirements. So that is the part one book chat for the book chat book of the month, the 4-hour work week. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you got some ideas out of it, some things that maybe you want to implement in your life. And maybe you even want to go pick up the book yourself. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. And as always, keep killing it.